Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Ross Fleming. And Ross is the director and also the music and lyric director, actually the composer for this play. And this is called The Fall of Wallace Winter. And it's written by Austin Savage. And this will take place. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about when it's going to take place and different showings and stuff like that. But before we get started, we want to thank Ross for being with us. Ross, thank you very much for being with us here today. And also, I understand, congratulations on your service award. You've been here 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. I've been at UTEP for 10 years.
So as far as coming to UTEP, did you study here or what drew you to UTEP?
No. Well, I guess the honest answer is they gave me a job. They hired me. So I'm originally from Texas, and so it was nice to find a place in the desert to come to.
And have you always been interested in writing lyrics and composing music?
Yeah. I guess that's my hobby. My trade is I'm the scene designer for the Department of Theater and Dance. And so that's what I teach. And with this particular play, my good friend Austin Savage wrote this play, and another good friend of ours, Nathan Stell, wrote most of the music. Nathan Stell wrote most of the music. And then I helped along the way with some of the things. And essentially, there was an opportunity to do. There was a spot opening, and so I took the opportunity to direct a show, which I haven't done in quite a while.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, I mean, it's really great for me in the respect that I'm on the other side of the fence, and I get to see the different perspectives of what the directors do on a daily basis. Not that I haven't done it before, but it's nice always to see things from the other perspective occasionally.
And how is it, Ross, going from set designing to being a director, and also, as I mentioned earlier, you composed the music for this?
Yeah, a good question. I think you just have to approach a show from a different point of view. Instead of being a little more isolated in the collaborative process of being the scene designer and creating an atmosphere, the director has to have a bigger overall view of the production, and which includes all of the details.
Ross, sometimes I think people have a misunderstanding, perhaps a different perspective, a stereotype of what a director does. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I knew somebody who was a director in a television show, or I knew a director of this, or is a director the guy who's supposed to be telling everybody what to do? And, of course, they have in their mind where they see a picture of somebody with a hat and a bullhorn, you know, and telling them to go ahead and do whatever. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us the steps that a director takes in putting together a play like this.
Well, I think maybe a good analogy might be that a director is kind of like the captain of the ship. They don't necessarily do everything. They're the leader that facilitates all of the people coming together to create one collaborative thing, whether it's film or TV or, in this case, theater.
And I talked a little bit about it at the beginning. It kicked off September 16th and goes through September 20th. But it's an interesting title, The Fall of Wallace Winter. Tell us about this. You said it was written by your friend.
Yeah, this is pretty exciting. A friend of mine wrote it, Austin Savage. Who's a local in town and a big supporter of the arts community, but he's also a playwright and an actor. And so he had this script that he's been working on for a while, and So somehow I got involved, and it just became more pieces got added to the production. And then there was this opportunity, like I said, to do a full production. And so this is its first full production that we've done with sets and lights and, a three-piece band and all the accoutrement.
What about the – I'm glad you mentioned it's a three-piece band. And due to the fact that Austin is your friend, you probably had perhaps a little bit of insight to this play when he was writing it, or maybe after he finished, he showed it to you, so you shared ideas. So now comes the part, okay, we need music for this. So how did that come together as far as what type of song? I think it's amazing what you guys do as far as, whether it's scoring a movie or just writing a soundtrack or whatever it is, and just the fact that, you go and you go, that goes bright, especially good with that scene, et cetera.
Yeah, well, a lot of the songs were written, like I mentioned, by Nathan Stell, and then a few were written by Austin himself, and then I of course helped out with some of them too. Some of them were ideas that were discussed, and then kind of everyone went off in their separate thing and brought them back to Austin, and then we discussed how that would fit in. And I think it's good to mention that this is probably not a piece that's a musical. It's not a piece of musical theater. I think I'd like to really consider it more a play with music.
So the music is kind of just to set the ambiance and everything else.
I think it's to develop the characters and further the characters through this process.
Well, tell us about this play. What's it about?
Okay. I think a good way to describe it is an irreverent view of the expectations of the American dream.
That's interesting.
With music.
Okay.
Right. So there, it's not such a score with the music. There's songs intermittently placed within the script that help define and further the characters through this play.
And as far as the story itself, is Wallace Winter the gentleman who is trying to get that American dream, or how?
Well, I think he fakes his way through it and finds out maybe that's not all it's cracked up to be, that the American dream is – there's a certain amount of fallacy to that. He's the father figure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is this something that's set in contemporary times, or
– It is. A non-specific contemporary time.
What does that mean? Excuse me.
Well, I like to think of it as somewhere in the 2000s. However, this family, the Winters, are living something in the past. Sometime in the
like the good old
past.
Days were the best, or
maybe the 50s, 60s,
and because, as you mentioned, Wallace being the dad, sometimes when we watch situation comedies or dramas, and particularly in the 60s, where they had a lot of where dad was in charge, and a lot of them were without moms, like My Three Sons, Bonanza, some of these other shows that I can't think of right now, but. As far as setting up the rest of the characters, there's Wallace, and how many children, how many siblings are there?
Okay, well, there's Wallace and June, who are married, and then Irwin and Autumn, who are the siblings. And so that's the four-piece family. And then a couple of the other characters that are brought in, the homecoming date and the homecoming date's father. And so that makes for a pretty interesting dinner scene. It's essentially set up to be sort of a sitcom kind of thing, reminiscent of maybe Leave It to Beaver or something like that, living in the more contemporary world, and things are not always what they seem.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because in one of my classes recently, we were talking about nostalgia and how people like to remember things. And that's why they like to watch shows like Leave It to Beaver, American Graffiti, mm-hmm. I Love Lucy, and programs like that because it at least for a little while, it takes us away from the real world. And there's a place that we wish existed like that. But as you mentioned earlier, we grow up and we continue with life and we find out that, you know, there is no Mayberry. You live in a big city and there's a lot of things going on and that's it.
When I approached this show from a director's point of view, one of the things that I told everyone involved, the actors and as well as the designers, and that this play is expectations versus reality. And so that's kind of being from the director's point of view how we shape how this play is going and how it starts and then how it eventually ends.
And we all have sometimes unrealistic expectations according to somebody in the family or perhaps somebody outside the family like our boss or somebody else.
Absolutely. And, you know, and just the societal norms that, you know, we see in media or, you know, we see and we perceive this is the way that it is. And knowing that may not be exactly the way it always turns out.
When people show up for this play, Ross, first of all, let me ask you about the theme. Is it okay for children to show up, or is it mainly for adults or older people?
It's a very adult comedy. children, probably not the best show for children come see.
And tell us about the scenes when you're looking for actors, you as a director and also a scene director, tell us about what specifically are you looking for in a character?
Huh. That's a hard one. I mean, I think that there's got to be, you know.
It depends on the play, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. There has to be, for me, there has to be a physical relationship that you can see between who the character is and visually what they are. I mean, I think that's my design background, but also the vocal quality and how they carry themselves throughout the scene and how they ultimately portray and communicate this character and the arc of the character throughout the story.
Talking about character and character building and how they communicate, how the audience interprets that message, I find it that sometimes whether it be in an acting class, in a public speaking class or whatever, sometimes the person who is delivering the message, you can tell that it's memorized. So it doesn't come across as natural. What are some of the tips that you give your actors or actresses as far as, you know, you have to know the lines, but try not to sound memorized?
Well, I think that's an innate quality that actors just have to have, or performers of any kind. That's the first step. Memorizing the lines is definitely the first step. After that, then I think as an actor or any kind of performer, you have to have your own personality, and you have to add that to it. And then how you do that is what makes good actors, and good performers. It's generally a talent or an innate quality that people have or don't.
And this play, again, it's called The Fall of Wallace Winter. Where does it take place? I know that you mentioned earlier that it takes some place, you know, perhaps in the 50s. It's contemporary times, though, but could it be any town USA?
Any town USA, definitely. Suburban, any town USA. We kind of sort of determined that maybe this happened in Ohio somewhere. Just to put it in a place. But not necessarily.
Okay. As I mentioned, it's going to start pretty soon, and or it has started. Tell us, if you wouldn't mind, perhaps the dates and what's available, where it's going to be, when it starts, and perhaps a number for more information.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is happening starting next week, this September 16th through the 20th. The showtime's 7:30, September 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. And then September 20th, a matinee show at 2:30. It happens in the Studio Theater in the Fox Fine Arts Center at UTEP. And the tickets, adults are $14, and faculty, staff, senior, military for $11, and students for $9. And if you need more information, you can contact the box office at 747-5118.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. We have been joined by Ross Fleming, and Ross is the director of the upcoming play, The Fall of Wallace Winter. And if you need additional information about this, you can call 747-5158. Again, that's 747-5158. Thank you very much for being with us here today, Ross.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.